Greetings to listeners all around the world. Welcome to Safe Dividend Investing's podcast number 147 on December 21st of 2023. My name is Ian Duncan MacDonald. In today's podcast, I'll be answering four interesting questions. The objective of my books, my website, and my podcasts are to show all those seeking financial independence how to become informed, confident, successful, self-directed investors. Question number one. What appears to be a good investment idea, but on a closer inspection, is actually not a good idea? The idea that you can abdicate your investment responsibilities by giving an investment advisor total control of your investments is a big mistake. Investment advisors are people who follow the easiest path that will result in the most income for them, not you. If putting all your money into a mutual fund takes them 5 minutes and generates a good commission and a fee income for them, do not be surprised when most of your investment money ends up in mutual funds. All you may know is that your money is in a fund. You have not read the fund's prospectus. You have no idea what the fund invests in beyond perhaps five companies out of hundreds in the fund. You have no idea of how many of the companies in the fund are financially strong companies with decades of ever-increasing sales and profits. The five you recognize could just be stocks that are only in the media spotlight and have never made a profit. They supposedly have potential, whatever that means. When your fund portfolio shrinks in inevitable recessions or market crashes, all the investment advisor can say is, "Well, you were well diversified, and this is just the way it is in the stock market." If you were living off that portfolio by liquidating 4% of it each year on your investment advisor's recommendation, your continued liquidating of this shrinking fund increases the rate that you are losing money faster than ever. The advisor could have invested your life savings into 20 to 30 financially strong, high dividend companies that had had ever increasing dividend payouts for 20 or more years. Stocks, even in crashes and recessions, continue to pay increasing dividends. You could then have afforded to live off your dividends as you waited for your portfolio's share prices to recover. Creating a stock portfolio of such stocks would not appeal to an investment advisor because he would be responsible for researching and choosing the stocks in it. If the portfolio he created was poorly chosen, he could be sued for negligence. It is so much easier and safer for him to put your money in funds. It's not his money. At some point, you may ask yourself, what exactly is this investment advisor doing to earn the thousands of dollars he is paying himself out of my portfolio? Perhaps then you will realize that there is no such thing as a free lunch, and you will spend the very little time it requires to build yourself a self-directed portfolio of financially strong companies paying high dividends out of the reliable profits they have generated for decades. A portfolio you know is so strong that its fluctuating share prices are only of passing interest. Question number two. What can a family office do to ensure they are diversified enough to offset long-term uncertainties? What a family can do to ensure they are diversified enough is to be self-directed investors who understand exactly what they are invested in and why they are invested in it. You need a portfolio of 20 to 30 financially strong stocks paying high dividends so that even in recessions and market crashes, you can live off your dividends. You invest equally in each stock. If you do not need the dividend income, you keep investing those dividends. You can then expect the portfolio to double within 5 years. You need to know how to pick financially strong stocks. You do not want fewer than 20 or more than 30 stocks in a portfolio, because then you will find monitoring your portfolio tedious and not give it the attention it deserves. You will also quickly learn that out of the thousands of stocks you could buy, there are very few that are good enough for your portfolio. You also do not want to dilute the portfolio's strength with mediocre stocks. A stock's history of share prices and dividend payouts is important. Go back and follow the charts for each stock through each year since 1999. You want to see continuous growth in the dividend payouts from those stocks, even in years when their share prices dropped significantly. The dividends are being paid out of the profits. Profits are proof of the company's management to control expenses and maximize sales. While the share prices of these stocks will dip during a market crash, with 1 or 2 years after the crash, the share prices will again reach new record highs. Rising share prices result in ever-rising dividend payouts. Dividend payouts grow faster than the share prices grow. This keeps your dividend income ahead of inflation. When you invest in companies, you are really investing in the skills of their managers. You want to be invested in companies whose management take pride in constantly increasing their high dividend payouts year after year. Companies are not blocks of wood or computer programs. Humans are making the decisions. While a few companies may have significant changes in management, most of your 20 strong companies will remain steady for years. Seeing the results and having patience and faith in your strong portfolio will soon remove your long-term uncertainties. This is not speculative investing where speculators control share prices. This is logical, careful wealth management. You may go for years without seeing a need to change the stocks in your carefully chosen portfolio. Question number three. Stock dividend yield percentages go up when their share prices go down. What should you now expect? A stock's dividend yield is calculated by projecting the dividend payments, usually paid quarterly or monthly, out for a full year. That total annual dividend payout amount is then taken as a percent of the stock's current share price. Share prices are constantly going up and down as speculators anxious to buy or sell a stock. Place bids in a stock market for the stock. A dividend payout is usually set once a year by the management of the company and approved by the company's board of directors. These managers want the dividend to be attractive to their existing shareholders to retain them and keep the share price from dropping. They also want the dividend yield percentage to be attractive to prospective shareholders who will pay a premium price for their stock. Investors who focus on dividend stocks are not purchasing the dividend stock for a quick rise in the share price so they can sell it at a higher price than what they paid for it. They bought the stock for its strength, as reflected in the dividends being paid out of the company's profits. They also seek the dividend income, which is paid whether the stock price is moving dramatically up and down or remains steady. Few high dividend paying stocks move dramatically up and down. If a share paying an annual dividend payout of $1 during the year saw its share price rise from $10 to $20, the dividend yield percent, which would have been at 10% at the beginning, would fall to 5% when the share was at $20. The amount being paid, the dividend payout, would not have changed. Only the dividend yield percentage has changed. Dividend-paying companies who compete for investors are often anxious to keep their dividend yield percent constant. Thus, you'll see when the share prices go up significantly that they will increase the dividend payout to maintain that constant dividend yield percent. In our example, to maintain the 10% dividend yield, the company would have to double their dividend payout from $1 to $2 the next time they set dividend payouts. This has repercussions with their competitors, who might also have to adjust their payouts to appear to be as generous as their dividend payouts. It is not unheard of in a market crash where the share price may have declined by 20% to see a strong, profitable company increase their dividend payout to give them an edge over their competitors. They are telling the world, look at us, even in a market crash, we are stronger than our competitors. This is the fascinating thing about investing in dividend-paying companies. You see the elaborate game they are playing as they flaunt their profitability. When you see a company that has increased its dividends each year for a decade or more, it did not just happen by chance. These are often deliberate moves by experienced, successful business managers. Most may have bonuses tied into the share price. At the beginning of each year, they may have been given thousands of stock options for $10. After 12 months, they can activate these thousands of stock options to purchase the company's stock at the then current price. If in the year the stock had risen from $10 to $20, they could now buy thousands of $20 shares and only pay $10 a share. If they'd been given 10,000 stock options, they would now realize a bonus of $100,000. In maximizing my portfolio's potential, I would rather bet on the selfish motivations of company executives than on the often illogical, impulsive buying and selling of speculators intent on buying low and selling high. Question number 4. Why should an investor consider a stock's book value when buying a stock? The book value of a stock has little to do with share price. It is calculated by accountants who do the annual audit of the company. They value all the company owns and subtracts from that all the company owes to banks, suppliers, tax collectors, and others. They end up with a net amount, which is then divided by the number of shares in the company. The resulting figure is the share's book value, or that piece of the company share you own. Accountant refers to book value as being share capital and retained earnings. Supposedly, if the company were liquidated, this amount is what you would receive. However, something is only worth what someone will pay for it, which is called market value, which is not quite so easy to calculate as per Donald Trump and his property holdings. Most book values are considerably less than the current share price, but sometimes you can see a book value that is much higher than the share price. For example, I was looking at a stock, Laurentian Bank, whose share price in December 7th of 2023 was $26.42, but its book value was $64.18. So, for $24, I can buy $64 worth of value. This looks like a real bargain. The stock also has a dividend yield of 7.12%. However, in July, its dividend yield was only 4.38%. The dividend amount paid had not changed. What happened? The share price in July was $42.38. The share price has dropped by about 40%. While the stock may appear to be strong, it is certainly not stable right now. The book value may have been calculated at the end of 2022. In the last few months, there's been turmoil in the company. They tried to sell the bank in the summer and found no buyers. The president was replaced, and other changes of directors have taken place. A speculator may look at the current numbers to see a great opportunity to buy a supposedly strong stock at a low price. They had a good score of 65 in my book, Canadian High Dividend Investing, which just came out on the 1st of September. When I scored it on December 7th, the score was still 64. Careful investors may want to hold back and wait before investing until they see how things play out. They may lose an opportunity or avoid a loss. PepsiCo's share price today was $165.69. If it ceased to operate, the share price might drop to a dollar, but supposedly it would have a liquidation value of $13.80. That's its book value. This is more typical of the difference between share price and book value of large corporations. Compare Pepsi to Kraft Heinz. In my book, New York Stock Exchange's 106 Best High Dividend Stocks, whose share price in September of 2022 was $34.69, but its book value then was $40.28. This is probably the reason Warren Buffett bought shares in Kraft. He likes companies with high book values that are higher than their share price. We are just a few days away from Christmas. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, and I'll be talking to you next week. Thanks for listening. If you wish more information on investing and stock scoring, please visit my website, www.saferbetterdividendinvesting.com.